there, crazy kids. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Just My Thoughts with your boy, Renard Simon. If you don't know, now you know, baby, now you know. Appreciate y'all coming back and rocking with your boy, because we back, y'all. Oh, excuse me, for another episode. What it do, baby? How y'all doing, baby? How y'all doing? So today, y'all, we got a treat for y'all, man. We got a treat for y'all today, man. So I know a lot of people think I'm like so smart when it comes to dating and relationships or whatever. People ask me about advice about this shit, but it's like, it's not because like I just have all of this knowledge. It's because I've been through a fucked up relationship and it changed my way of thinking when it comes to relationships. Like that's basically what it is. All right. Like the worst relationship in my life changed my mindset when it comes to dating and relationships. And that's pretty much it, y'all. And honestly, I wanted to do this podcast when I first started doing podcasts, because I do a lot of relationship topics and I want you guys to understand where this mentality comes from. So this shit is way overdue, y'all. I should have bended this shit a long time ago, y'all. So now you guys are gonna know why I think the way I think when it comes to dating and relationships, y'all. So without further ado, man, let's get into this shit, man. If you got some time, man, kick off your shoes and relax your feet. Party on down to the SKP. What y'all know about that, baby? That's the 90s right there, y'all. That's the 90s right there. But now, for real though, get y'all some wine or some shit, man. I don't know if it's the morning time for you, get you some coffee or something, because like we're gonna be here for a while, y'all. This is y'all know I do these podcasts like we shooting the shit. This is like I'm talking to my homie and telling you what my story is and shit like that. So grab you a glass of wine, little Merlot, little Cabernet, little Shiraz, whatever you drink, and let's get this thing cracking, man. This thing gonna last about 40-45 minutes, man. Maybe even 50 minutes. All right. The podcast cuts me off at an hour, so I gotta leave it under an hour. You dig? At the end of the podcast, I'm gonna let you guys know like what my mentality is when it comes to dating now, y'all. But yeah, man, let's get into it, man. Let's go back. Let's take it back, man. 2009 or some shit like that. 2009. That's when I met this my ex, y'all. We're gonna call her Sue. Well, no, I don't wanna call her Susanna. We're gonna call her Jackie. Yeah, we're gonna call her Jackie, man. So I met Jackie in 2009. Alright, I think I was like 28 years old. Before that, from 20 to 26, that was during my slut days, y'all. You know, I was a slut back in the day, y'all. And my slut days are different, man. My slut days are different from most guys' slut days, honestly. Like, dudes always be talking about what they body count. What's your body count, dog? What's your body count? You know, dude be like, oh, I'm like at 115 or whatever. I'm in the mud, baby. I'm like, man, shit. I'm like 8 to 12. 8 to 12 reps. Nah, for real, man. I haven't had sex with that many women, y'all. Like, I don't know. I don't get how dudes have sex with that many women. I was always afraid of sexually transmitted diseases, y'all. Like that's why I didn't have sex with a lot of women. I've always protected myself. The only time I did not have sex with a condom was with my ex. That was it. I think, you know, we at a certain period of time, like, we just was not using condoms. And but other than that, nope, never had unprotected sex with anybody, man. I was too afraid. One of the things my mom taught me is, she, you know how some parents are like, you know, don't bring no girl pregnant or whatever. Like, you can't bring a girl home pregnant if you're protecting yourself. So for my mom, her thing was like, protect yourself so your dick don't fall off, you know, because you don't know what these hoes got. For real, man. So that was my mentality all the time, man. Straight wrap it up all the time, you dig? So yeah, man, I remember back in the day, man, my brother, shout out to my brother, Ron Bouet. He not my blood brother. He my brother, man, from another mother. But yeah, that was my roommate, man, during that time, during my hoe days. All right. He was my roommate during my slut days. And I remember, man, we used to have this two-bedroom apartment, man. It was number 216, y'all. And we always refer to them days, man. You know how, like you have, like, a certain time in your life, man, and you always refer to, like, a certain thing, like, to, like, reference those days. We always reference those days, 216 days. 216 days. That was during our slut days and shit, man. I remember we had a box. We had a box of a Magnum condoms, 36-pack, y'all. We used to keep them in the laundry room. All right, so we used to keep them in a neutral spot, so we never had to knock on each other's door to get a condom. Like, dog, you got a condom, dog? Nah, it was in a neutral spot in the house, man. We didn't have to knock on no doors, and we always took turns buying that box, man. We went through that box like nothing. My boy, he was on another level, though. He was on another level. Like, his body count was like probably like 4-5 times mine, y'all. My thing was, man, I was having sex a lot with the same women. Like, I was the type of person, I was dating women, like, for a long time, and, like, maybe, you know, I'll be on and off dating the same woman on and off and shit like that. That's how I was. But, like, I don't feel like I had sex with over 10 women, honestly. And I'm gonna have to get back to y'all on that, man. I'm gonna have to really go back and look and think about how many women I had sex with. But I'm sure it's not over 10. It's not over 10. For real. But by the time I was 25, 26, man, I was done, man. I was done with my slut days, man. It just, I don't know, man. I just couldn't do, like, the fuck buddy shit. I remember I did the fuck buddy shit one time when I was, like, 19. And it didn't work, man. Because, like, for me, I'm good at arrangements, y'all. Like, if you tell me that, like, you just want to be friends with benefits, I'm cool with that. You know, I'm not going to deviate from that plan because that's what you want. So I don't allow my feelings to go any higher than what you wanted, because, like, that was the deal. So, and a lot of times that backfires because, you know, the woman, she starts to catch feelings, you know. And I'm the disciplined one. I'm the one that's like, this is what you wanted. So I didn't allow myself to catch no feelings for you. So yeah, man, I remember I tried that one time and, like, it just did not work. That was the one time I tried it and then the last time that I tried it. So yeah, man, by the time I was 25, 26, I was just tired, man. I was just like, I was tired of, you know, just being a slut, I would say. So when I was like, I think I was like 27, 28 is when I met my ex, Jackie. We're not gonna say her real name. That's not her real name, y'all. Just to let y'all know, that's not her real name. But so yeah, man, I used to go to this spot, man. It was called Heat. All right, it was in downtown San Diego, and it was like this little nice lounge spot, man. Play good hip hop, neo soul type of music. And I was always the type of person, man, when I go to bars and stuff, like, I go to bars because, like, I love the ambiance and I love the music, and I just want to go in there, give me a beer, and just chill and just vibe to the music. That's how I was, man. And I wasn't really into, like, going there and, like, trying to look to see, you know, who was in there and, you know, what type of girls, and trying to get somebody's number, because I was 27 years old, y'all. Like, I had got all that shit out of my system already. So I was just going in there just wanting to vibe with myself, you know. If I started, you know, conversing with people, that's cool. But, like, I wasn't looking to, like, make eye contact with the woman and, like, you know, try to get her number. Like, that just wasn't my mentality. So I was kind of in my own world. So I went to that spot a couple times, all right, during the month. And then I would say, like, the third time I told my roommate about it, because I was heading out. He was like, man, what you doing tonight or whatever? I was like, I'm going to this spot that I go to or whatever. And I was like, you should come, man. Like, it's a cool little spot. So we go. And when we went, man, every time we used to go out, man, like, my brother, man, he was the type of person, man, he always looked out to see what girl was checking me out, because he knew that when I went out to the club, like, I wasn't really checking for chicks like that. I wasn't really out there trying to find somebody to take home and shit. Like, he knew I was, like, in my own world. So he thought it was, like, kind of fun to see who was checking me out. So, my ex, he saw my ex. And he told me about it. He was like, oh, yeah, you know, girl, you know, she checking you out. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And for me, like, even when you tell me that, I'm not going to go up to her, because, like, that's not what I'm here for. Because, like, for me, the way I look at shit, y'all, it's like, there's so many beautiful women in the world, period. And in San Diego and California, period. And, like, it doesn't impress me that you're attractive. Like, that doesn't impress me. Like, especially me being 27 and me being in California since I was 20 years old, I've seen so many beautiful women, and just being beautiful is just not enough. Like, we got to be able to have a conversation. Like, I get attracted to people when I talk to them for, like, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, and it goes beyond that. When it goes beyond that, that's when I can feel your vibe. That's when I love your vibe, and I feel excited to talk to you, and, like, we connect. Like, once that happens, then I want to buy you a drink, and then, you know, I want to hang out with you. But I don't want to do all of that just because you're beautiful. Like, that's just not enough. So when he tells me that, you know, I'm still kind of just chilling, like, being in my own little world. So, you know, about 10 minutes pass, and, you know, she comes up to me, and she gives me, like, this little booty bump, this, like, little playful booty bump. She was like, what's up? And I was just like, what's up? And, like, for me, I love a woman that approaches me, y'all. I love that shit. Like, when you do that, you put yourself above everyone, above all women. Like, I'm just saying, like, you just do, because I know how hard that shit is. That shit is difficult. And for a woman to do that, like, it's just like when a guy... I mean, of course, a lot of guys come up to women all the time, but, like, in certain situations to where when a guy comes up to you, women, any women that's listening, you kind of respect that, man. You really respect that. And, like, with a woman, I understand that, because, like, I mean, I grew up with women, so I understand, like, how difficult it is for a woman to approach a guy. So that already turned me on in the first place. And plus, she was cute. She was my type totally. And that vibe, like, that, the way she came up to me, like, that just got me right there. So we started chit-chatting, and we ended up exchanging numbers. We started dating maybe like for like 3 months, maybe like 2.5 months, and then we made it official. Now, during that time when we was dating, y'all, this was during the time where, you know, we had like DVDs and shit like that. So I remember I used to bring movies to her house and shit like that. I remember the first time I went to her house, I brought some movies over. Now, this movie thing, this is a big part of the story, y'all. That's why I'm talking about it. So I brought some movies to her house. I brought, you know, this movie called Lucky Number 11. I don't know if y'all heard about it, but it's Lucy Liu in it. You guys should watch that movie. It's a classic. I brought Superbad. Y'all remember Superbad? McLovin. And I brought a couple other movies over as well. So we watched those movies. Everything was cool. And after like 2.5 months, I think that's when we made it official. All right. So after we made it official, that's when shit started to change, y'all. And that's why these days I always tell my folks, man, I'm like, you know, you should date people for like at least like 3 months before you make it official. Now, for me, I don't need to wait that long, because, like, now, especially after that experience, I know what I want after pretty much a month. Like, pretty much, if I date somebody, I know if I want to date you on the third date. Like, I usually can tell after the first date. If I can't tell after the first date, I'll give it a second date. And maybe if I feel like I'm overreacting, or maybe I'm being too tough on her or whatever, I'll give it a third date. But other than that, like, no. So if you last, I hate to use it like that, but, like, if we're dating like over a month, that's a big deal for me. It's a big deal for me to be dating somebody over a month, really over like 4 or 5 dates, really. Like, that's big for me. But yeah, man, that's why I always tell people, man, wait, because it's only so long before people can show their true colors. They can't be fake for too long. So And it also depends on how often you're seeing that person. I was seeing her very often. I think that's why it was easy for us to get together within like two and a half months, because I think I was probably seeing her like probably like 3 to 4 times a week, maybe like 2 to 3 times during the week, and then like I would see her on the weekend like all day. Like y'all know how that shit works. Like you see your person like you, and you spend the whole day with them on the weekend and shit like that. Like that's how it was. So then she started to change, and the first situation that she started to change was with the movie thing, y'all. Now, she's a feminist, y'all. All right. So that was the first feminist that I've ever met in my life, y'all. So that was the first impression that I've ever gotten of a feminist. And what's crazy about it is since then, I've met so many other feminists. And they're not even the same, not even the same as her at all. Like she was very, very over the top. Like she was on the whole degrading women and, you know, about movies. Like her big thing was about movies degrading women. So, I remember the first time we went to go pick out a movie, went to Blockbuster. This was back in the day when Blockbuster was popping. and so we went to Blockbuster, y'all, and we could not find a movie. All right, we could not agree, put it that way. We could not agree on picking a movie at all, because she would look at the cover and she would be like, you know, that's not a good movie because, like, you know, they're degrading women on that cover. Like, I could just tell, like, she was just very, very negative, like, when it came to that shit. So for me, man, I'm a compromiser, man. Like, I'm just not into debating, man. Like, it's just, to me, it's just a waste of energy. All right, to get somebody to try to see the way you think and shit like that. I don't know. It's just exhausting for me. So I would just pick a movie, and if she didn't like it, I'll be like, okay, like let's try something else. And then we finally found one. It was called Why Did I Get Married? All right. It was with Chris Rock. Alright. Look this movie up, y'all. Maybe y'all could look up the preview so y'all can kind of actually see what I'm talking about, and watch the movie too, y'all. Like, I think this movie is pretty good too. So we watched this movie. It was him and Kerry Washington in it. Y'all remember Kerry Washington? She's from she was in that movie Ray. She was in that show Scandal, which is to me one of the best shows I've ever seen. What else was she in? She was in a lot of other movies, man, but Kerry Washington, very attractive woman. So in this movie, Chris Rock was married to a woman. I don't even know what her name was. He wasn't married to Kerry Washington. All right. So he was married to this woman. He had kids. He had this corporate job. He used to take the subway to his job. You know, he goes to his job, suit and tie and everything. And one day, this woman comes into his office, which is Kerry Washington. And in the movie, she is somebody he went to high school with. All right. So, you know, she came there, she's reminiscing and stuff like that. But when she comes there, she's very attractive. All right. She's wearing all of these sexy dresses, sundresses and stuff like that. And so after, you know, a couple visits, you know, she comes to his office and stuff like that. And the secretary is getting all nervous or whatever, because she's like, you know, who is this girl coming to his office and blah, 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 blah. So every time she comes in with, you know, some sexy dress. So then after like the third time, my girlfriend, she's sitting next to me and she's like, oh, this is why you wanted to watch this movie, because this bitch is half naked throughout the whole movie. Yes. That's when the fucking red flags. I was like, who the fuck is this chick right here? Who is this girl? Like, this is not the same girl that when I brought all of these movies to your house and you was cool with all of this shit. Like, you didn't even say shit. She didn't say nothing because we wasn't in a relationship yet. We wasn't locked down yet. So she waited. She waited to after to push her beliefs on me. Like, she waited, y'all. So I was just like, wow. Like, I didn't even know what to say. I was just like, no. Like, and what's crazy about it is I'm not even that type of dude who obsesses over movie stars. Like, I don't do that. You know how some dudes are like, oh my god, like, that's wifey right there, whatever, I got a free pass or whatever, that's wifey. Like, I don't obsess over women like that. All right. If I'm gonna obsess over a woman or have a crush on a woman like that, it's because like that's somebody that like I actually have a chance of getting to know or being with. That's it. But like I'm not into these fantasy. I'm not into this fantasy. These fantasy women, because to me, like I said before, it's not about how you look. It's about the connection. So if I don't have a conversation with you, there's no way I can build that connection that I want with you or build that attraction. So, and by being with me for 2 months, like you would think you would know that about me. You dig? You know, that's one of the reasons why you came up to me in the club, because I wasn't one of those dudes that was like trying to grab all the women and shit like that. So yeah, man, like she, you know, she went off on that shit, and that's when I kind of realized what was going on. So then, picking a movie was just not something that we did. I didn't, when it came to conflict, y'all, I was just like, nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to mess with this like at all. So, that was one of the problems. The second problem is she was bipolar. All right. So when we went out, and she would drink, you know, she would go through these tantrums, you know, she would start saying dumb shit, start saying mean shit to me or whatever. And like I said, I'm not confrontational. I don't say mean shit back. That's just not how I was raised. So what would happen is the first time she did it is we was at the bar, and I remember we went to a bar with her friends. All right. It was like probably like 5 or 6 of us. So we're getting a drink at the bar, and this is where, you know, you have the, like the little bar like right in between the bathrooms. So we get our drinks, and I give the lady my card. And as I'm giving her my card, you know, she's having problems with the receipt. I think the ink was low. And so my girlfriend, she got tired of waiting, so she went back by her friends or whatever. And we had like a table and shit like that. She was like, I'll meet you back over there. I was like, all right, cool. So I'm sitting there waiting for my receipt to come back. And by the time I get it back, it's probably like 5-7 minutes or some shit. So as soon as I get back, like, she's mad, y'all. She's mad. She's mad because she said that I took too long. She said that I was flirting with the girl at the register. And it's crazy, man, because it's like, I'm not a flirter. Like, I barely even flirt when I'm single. Let alone, like, why would I flirt with a woman if I already have a chick? Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. So, and if you were that insecure, why didn't you just stay with me? Why? You got impatient and you didn't want to stay. Like, why didn't you just stay with me over there? So, she caught one of her little temper tantrums and saying dumb shit or whatever. Then the next day, she apologizes. All right. She apologizes a million times. I don't deserve you and this and that, blah, blah. I'm so sorry. She went to get me a Hallmark card. She rolled all of this shit down of how much she appreciates me and shit like that. Like, that was what she did every time she had these tantrums. So she had like 2 of those tantrums, y'all. And I actually remember one time where she was like, I remember I went out with the boys one time. All right. I went out with the boys, and this is a funny situation right here. I went out with the boys, and we went to that club, actually, that club that I met her at. And there was this girl in the club. All the dudes was trying to holler at her. Even my boy was trying to holler at her. It was like, oh my God, like, look at, she's fine, this and that. And you know me, y'all, it's, y'all been listening to this podcast, like, good looks, that shit don't impress me. After about maybe like an hour in the bar, she comes up to me. And she's like, I don't remember what she said, but she had like this kind of energy that like I should be trying to talk to her, because all of these dudes are trying to talk to her. Like, she had like a very big head, and I was like, I'm just chilling, man. I'm just, you know, chilling here with my boy or whatever. I didn't even tell her that I had a girlfriend. Like, it to me, like, it doesn't even make a difference to me to tell you. I don't like to tell when I'm in a relationship. I don't like to really tell a woman that I have a girlfriend. And the reason why, because I want you to know that you're not my type. That's what I want you to know. I don't like, cause I feel like when you say you have a girlfriend, like women think that like they can keep going and they can still persuade you. But like, if you're just not my type, like I'm gonna make it known that like I just don't want to be bothered by you. That's it. It doesn't matter if I'm in a relationship or not. I don't want to be bothered by you. What, like, we're good. It wasn't disrespectful or anything like that. It was just like, no, I'm good. You know, I'm just chilling, you know, chilling with my boy and shit like that. She was like, oh, and then she said something about, you don't know who I am or something like that. And I was just like, nah, I don't. Like, I'm like, it don't really matter or whatever. Like, I was just so innocent like that. I still wasn't like being really aggressive with her. Like, I was still like in this out of sight, out of mind type of response. And I was like, nah, I'm good or whatever. So she left me alone. And then like at the end of the night, what's crazy is at the end of the night when she was about to leave, she said bye to me. Like, it was very nice meeting you or whatever, you know, maybe I'll see you around. I was like, well, it was nice meeting you too. And I was just like, all right. So I thought that was a funny situation. So I told my girl about it. I was like, oh yeah, this girl, she was at the club or whatever. All the dudes was trying to holler at her and I wasn't paying her no attention. And she probably felt threatened that I wasn't paying her no attention. So she, you know, came up to me and tried to talk to me. And I told her, you know, like, I'm good and shit like that. And like, my girlfriend, I thought we was going to laugh about it. I thought she's going to laugh about it. And laugh about, oh, like, this girl thought she was the shit. And because every dude was talking to her that the guy that actually wasn't paying attention to her, she thought something was wrong with him. Like, I thought my girl would think that shit was funny. I thought that would be something that we could laugh about. But she got mad about that shit, y'all. She got mad about that shit, y'all. And she was like, why would she be trying to talk to you then? Why would she, if you wasn't trying to blah, blah, blah? And I was like, I almost said her name, y'all. I'm not gonna say her name. Jackie. I was like, Jackie. I had to remind her, Jackie, like, didn't you come up to me when we was at the club? You came up to me. And one of the reasons why you said you came up to me is because you was watching me for a while. And I was the dude that was not grabbing all the girls, trying to talk to all the girls. That's why you came up to me. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. So that was another situation. So then after that, so basically, like, as you guys can see, like, this girl, she was very insecure, all right? And she caught these temper tantrums, and she had, like, another tantrum. I forget the details of that one, y'all, but the third time was the charm, all right? It's when we went to Vegas, okay? So we go to Vegas. We drive there, all right, 5 hours, y'all already know. And we was gonna stay at her friend's house. So as we was going there, of course I had like this little anticipation that something was gonna go down, all right. And if you're with me, if you're around me, like, you understand my energy changes. Like, I'm not a person that can hide the way I feel. Like, if I'm excited to be around you, you're gonna know it. If I'm not excited to be around you, you're gonna know it. So she felt that. She felt that energy, and she, you know, she tried to comfort me. You know, she tried to be like, you know, I know you probably think, you know, I'm probably gonna do something again, and, you know, no, I'm gonna be good and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, all right, cool, you know, whatever. So then, you know, we get to Vegas, and of course, it ended up happening again, y'all, all right? So it ended up happening again. You know, I don't even know what caused it, but she just started acting stupid and started saying dumb shit to me, and we ended up coming back home to her friend's house in Vegas. We was riding back in the cab, and she was just talking shit, y'all, talking all kinds of shit. And at the end of that cab ride, and like, for me, like I told you guys before, like, I don't say mean shit back to nobody. Like, that's not the way I was raised, y'all. So when you're being negative towards me, I don't really say shit at all. as you guys know, if you guys know anybody who's very negative, like narcissistic and shit like that, those are the type of people, they feed off of that shit. Like, they want you to say something negative so they can come right back. They don't know how to act when they're being negative towards you and you don't say nothing back to them. They like, that's like foreign to them. Like, that pisses them off even more, actually. So, at the end of that cab ride, she said something about bitch. I don't remember if she called me a bitch or she said I'm acting like a bitch, whatever the case may be. She said that word and that really triggered me. And in my mind, I was like, I'm done. I didn't even say it to her, though. I didn't need to say it. I'm just not that type of person who needs to say something to you. I'm more about action. So I didn't even say nothing. So I stayed in the cab. She left and went in the house. So I went to the strip club, y'all. I don't even like strip clubs, y'all. And like, I went to the strip club and what's crazy, I went to the strip club and I had a girlfriend that was a feminist. And I don't even like strip clubs. But I wanted to go to the strip club because that was my first time in Vegas, all right? And I wanted to see what it was all about. So I went to the strip club. I think I was there for like maybe like 30, 45 minutes or some shit like that. I think I got like 2 dances. And I was already over it. So I came back to the house, went to sleep, got back up the next morning. When I got back up the next morning, she was sitting Indian style in front of me, bawling, y'all. Just crying. You could just see the tears coming down her eyes. Because she knew. She knew I was done. Yeah, she just knew. So that whole morning, I was just really dead to her. Like, I barely said a word to her the whole morning. And then we had to drive back for 5 hours, y'all. Yeah, we had to drive back for 5 hours. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, 1,000-mile stare, y'all. Not even looking at her, not even acknowledging her at all, y'all. So we had to drive back for 5 hours. And finally brought her back to her car. And that was it. I told her, when I dropped her off, I told her, like, we're done. Like, this is over with. And yeah, that was the breakup. That was the first breakup, all right? So after that, all right, we ended up getting back together after about 6 months. Maybe like three or four months. She hit me up and she wanted to hang out. And in her mind, like, she wanted to, like, to build this friendship, because that's one of the things I told her. I was like, I don't feel like we were really friends. Because I really truly believe that, like, you should be, you know, you should have a certain level of friendship, you know, to have a successful relationship. And I think that's something that I told her, and she wanted to fulfill that. So when we hung out the first time, she was just talking about how she missed all of this about me and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. So then, you know, she kind of proposed to me that, like, you know, I think, you know, it would be good, like, if we just, you know, kind of be friends and, like, you know, kind of ease into the relationship, back into a relationship. Because he knew that's what I wanted. I wanted, you know, to develop a friendship. So I was like, cool. I'm down with that. So we started hanging out a little bit. But I told her when we was going to be friends, I was like, we're not going to have sex, though. All right. I'm like, I made that super clear. And, like, for me, like, that's easy for me, y'all. I don't understand. Like, for me, like, when it comes to sex, it's about pleasuring someone else. It's not about pleasuring myself. I can pleasure myself anytime I want, but I can't have sex with somebody that I'm not into or I'm mad at or whatever. Like, that's just, like, I don't understand how people have angry sex. Like, I can't do that, because for me, when I'm having sex with someone, my job is to pleasure that person. And if I'm mad at you, I don't want to pleasure you. You know what I'm saying? So I told her, like, we're not going to have sex, because that's, you know, that's going to say that, like, we're back to where we were, which we're not. So I remember when we was in a relationship before, the first time, I remember she went down on me one time, and I didn't even ask her to go down on me. She just tried it out, and she didn't like it because she didn't feel like she was good at it. And, like, I'm not the type of person to pressure you to go down on me. Like, if you don't feel comfortable with it, like, oh, well, like, it is what it is. So what's crazy about that, though, fast forward all the way to the second time we almost got back together when we was friends. So this is during the time when we're friends, and I told her we wasn't gonna have sex. I remember we went to Target one day and we went back to her house, and we were just laying in the bed, just kind of just taking a nap or whatever. And then all of a sudden, man, like, she pulls down my pants and, like, she goes down on me, y'all. She goes down on me. Like, she went down on me one time during the relationship before that. She goes down on me, and like, it just, I don't know, the shit felt so good. I don't know if she was fucking watching videos or some shit, y'all, like, but the shit felt so fucking good. And I was about to nut, and like, I didn't want to nut in her mouth because I know how uncomfortable she was with the shit. And she pushed my shit. She pushed me back down. She like did not let me move. And like, I just started nutting, and like, she just kept her mouth right there and did not move, y'all. And took that shit like a champ. And I was just like, wow, wow. She really want to get back with me right now, yo. I was like, damn. So then, like, I think like 2 weeks after that, man, we ended up getting back together, y'all. So then, at that time, my boy, he was dating somebody at the time too. My boy that I was living with, he was dating somebody at the time too. So he was never home. I was never home. So by the time that happened, like, he was, you know, always at her house, and he was thinking about moving in with her. So at the time, like, it just made sense because, like, her roommate had moved out. And in my mind, I was like, well, why don't I just move in? You know, because she's looking for a roommate and stuff like that. But it would just make more sense for me to just move in. And she was just so happy about that. And we ended up moving in together, y'all. All right. So we moved in together. And I swear, in my mind, when I was thinking about that, I was like, I gotta move in with her. Because I've always thought that if you move in with somebody, you know, like, if you want to be with that person long term, or you want to be in a in a marriage with that person. So I was like, why not? Why not? Let's fucking try it out. So we moved together, and it was cool, man. It was cool for what it was. We still had like all our fights, man, like about movies and shit like that, and like she still had her temper tantrums and shit like that. And so then, and mind you, y'all, when I broke up with her during Valentine's Day and during her birthday was in February. It's such a coincidence that every year it was during that time, y'all. It was during that time. And it wasn't like something that I did on purpose. It just happened like that, because everything was going great, because my birthday was in September. So of course, that whole month, you know, everything was going great. And then October would come through, like one of her favorite holidays was Halloween. And then November, you know, we see the family and stuff like that. December, we're giving each other presents. And then January, it just goes back to the rough shit. And then I just couldn't take it for that whole month. And by the time February hit, y'all, like, I just was not excited to do nothing for her for Valentine's Day. And like, at that time, I was just at my breaking point. I was just like, I'm done with this relationship. So when we was living together, I ended up breaking up with her just because of all the other shit that happened in the relationship before. In the relationship on the first try, all right, still temper tantrum, still stressing me out about fucking movies and shit like that. It was just like, I, at that point, now that I was living with her, y'all, at that point, I just did not feel comfortable watching movies with her at all. I did not watch movies with her at all. When new movies came out, I went to go watch them by myself, y'all. I did not want to watch movies with her at all. Now, and let me tell you this, y'all, the sex was fucking amazing. Probably still the best sex that I've had since then. This is still the best sex, y'all. But it wasn't fucking worth it, man. It wasn't fucking worth it. So that second time we got together, I ended up breaking up with her. All right, but I was living with her. So I had to stay there until her lease was up. So I ended up breaking up with her in like January, like a month before February happened, y'all. And I still had to live with her that whole time. So that was tough. That was tough right there. So I remember when when Valentine's came around, I was living in the other room because we had a 2-bedroom, all right? So I was sleeping in the other room with all my stuff in there. And I remember on Valentine's Day night, y'all, I come out my door. She has her lingerie hooked onto my door. She was trying to lure me in, y'all. Like, she was really trying to lure me in because, like, Valentine's Day was, like, one of her favorite holidays as well. And, like, she was really trying to lure me in. And, like, by being with me for so long, you got to understand, you can't, you was never able to lure me in with sex. Like, never. There was so many times where we didn't have sex because we were fighting. Like, and she wanted to have sex still. And, like, I can't have sex with you when I'm fighting with you. Like, that's just, I can't. Because, like I said before, I don't want to fucking pleasure you if I'm mad at you. Like, that's what it is. So, like, it just was more of a turnoff that you thought that I would be that weak to fall for that shit. And yeah, that's what she tried to do during Valentine's Day. And then, so about a month later, I finally moved out. All right. So when I moved out, I ended up reading this book. All right. It's called Walking on Eggshells, Dealing with Somebody with Borderline Personality Disorder. Okay. All right. So one of my friends told me to read this book. All right. Because she said I needed to bend a little bit. She said I was too harsh. All right. I didn't give the relationship enough to grow and shit like that. And in my mind, like at that time in my life, I was always thinking that relationships take hard work. Like, that's what people was telling me. Relationships take hard work. Relationships take hard work. So, I gave her another chance, all right? Because I read this book, and when I read this book, it was everything that I was going through. And anybody who knows, I'm sure a lot of you are out there know about borderline personality disorder. If you don't, Google it. Do your research on it. And that's exactly what she had. So, when I read that book, I felt like I could help her. So, I ended up getting back with her, all right? Because I was like, I can help you with this. And it was like with that type of person, like, you can't tell them that they have borderline personality disorder. She knew she had a problem. Don't get me wrong. She knew she had a problem. So she went on the internet and she was like trying to do all of this research. She was like, I need to figure out what my trigger points are and this and that and blah, 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 blah. So, and I told her like I would help her out and shit like that. But I never told her that I read this book. She thought I was just coming back to give her another chance and to really help her through this. Because by that time, like, she really understood that she had a problem and she had to fix it. So I was gonna help her based on what I read in that book, and she was gonna help her situation by doing like her research. So so we ended up getting back together, and when we got back together, we started therapy, y'all. All right. I went to a therapist, and I talked to the therapist first by myself, and then she talked to the therapist by herself. And when I talked to the therapist about what I was going through, she knew, she said the same thing, that it was exactly what I said it was, borderline personality disorder. And therapists, they know all about that damn disease or whatever, or condition, or whatever you want to call it. And then she said that when I saw her the second time, because she had already seen my ex by herself. So she had already confirmed that that's what she had. So I was like, all right, cool. So then we would have sessions together, y'all. We would have sessions together. And when we have these sessions together, we would have a session together once a week. Every week, we always had some shit to talk about because she had a tantrum every weekend, y'all. Every weekend. So we had some shit to talk about. By the third session, my girlfriend, she was done. She was done with it because with people with borderline personality disorder, like, they always think everybody's against them, all right? And it's always, you're either the best person in the world or the worst person in the world. You're never in between. So she wasn't a fan of the therapist because she felt like the therapist was taking sides. So after that third session, she said she didn't want to see the therapist anymore. So after that, that's when it was done. All right. That's when I was just like, all right, we're not doing this shit anymore. And that lasted. I know that, you know, it's very quick right there, but that whole thing lasted maybe around 4 or 5 months, y'all. Maybe around 4 or 5 months. And I remember when we got back together that third time, like, she tried to pressure me like to have a kid with her. which was crazy. She's like asking me like, are we gonna be married soon and shit like that. And I'm just like, we still gotta fucking work on this relationship, man. Like, you trying to, and she's trying to give me like the timeline shit. Like, I'm 29, like, you know, I'm running out of time and this shit like that. Like, and I'm just like, look, we gotta work on this relationship. Like, you talking about marriage and shit like that. Like, nah, you gotta chill. So that happened like when we first got back together on that third time. And then fast forward all the way back until we stopped the therapy. I pretty much ended it. So fast forward all the way up until from the time we broke up, 6 months. I would say about 6 months, it was nonstop. Like, she would text me all kind of mean shit or whatever. And it would be on and off, y'all. She would text me the meanest shit on one day, and then the next day she'll text me the nicest shit, you know. And I would never respond to it because it was like, you're the worst person in the world. The next text message the next day would be like, I'm so sorry for everything that I said to you yesterday or whatever. And it was back and forth, just like that for like 6 months. And then finally one day she shows up at my house, y'all. All right, she shows up at my house, and I opened the door, and she's like, I need closure. She's like, you owe me that. You owe me closure. And I was just like, I don't owe you anything. Like, we're done. Like, we've been done for like 5-6 months. Like, what? Like, what do you need? Like, and she's like, I want closure or whatever. So I walked out the house, man. I acted like I was going to my car. I didn't have nowhere to go. She just followed me. I came back up, and she's like, She's like, you owe me closure. She's like, you owe me closure. I was like, honestly, like, I just want to be done. Like, I'm done with this whole relationship. And she's like, are you sure? She was like, are you sure this is what you want? This is what you want. And I was like, yes. I was like, yes, I am sure. So I closed my door. As I'm closing my door, y'all, she barges through my door, y'all. And she grabs me as if she's like ready to fight. Now, she's been in a abusive relationship before I was with her. Verbally and physically. So she's used to that shit. I'm not. You know, I grew up with women. I don't put my hands on a woman. So she thought, and I can tell that this is what she was trying to do. She was trying to push me into the house and close the door. She tried to close the door so nobody would see what was going on inside the house. Now, the way my apartment was set up, all right, the people next door to me, they was like an inch away. It was like one of those apartments to where like it's an inch away and the wall is pretty much connected to each apartment. So as soon as you walk out the door, you just one step to the left and it's the next apartment. And then there's a courtyard right in front of my door. So in the courtyard, across from the courtyard, you can see the other two apartments with their balcony. So whatever, if my door is open, everybody can see what's going on in front of my door. So in my mind, it's so crazy. I've never been in this situation before, but in my mind, I felt like I needed to keep everything outside. So if there were any witnesses, they can see anything that's going on in my house. But she tried to close the door. So I got her in the house, actually. And as I got her in the house, I was so frustrated with everything that she's been doing throughout the whole relationship. I was like, you're not about to get away with this. So in my mind, I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. All right. And I thought about this real quick. All right. Her purse was in my house because she tried to barge in my house and tried to kick me and all of that shit. So her purse was in my house. So basically what I tried to do, I tried to push her out my house, keep her purse in my house, and then close the door and call the police. So it's like, all right, like, cause she tried to do this shit to me one time before the second time we got in a relationship. Well, she didn't try. She did. She actually hit me. And I ended up leaving the house after she did that. And she 1,000 times apologized the next day or whatever. And I can tell that that's something that she was used to. So she tried it again when we was broken up. And so I was like, you're not about to get away with this shit again. So I closed my door, purse was in my house, and I called the police. So I call the police, and she's banging on the door, y'all. Banging on the door. And the dispatch, 911 dispatch, they hear everything. They hear her knocking on the door, banging, kicking the door and shit like that. My neighbors, they fucking talking shit to her or whatever, saying, shut the fuck up, bitch, and all this shit. So the police ended up coming, all right? So by the time the police came, she wasn't even nowhere to be found, all right? So the police came. And I was like, yeah, she's out there somewhere. I don't know where she's at. And they're like, have she been drinking? I was like, I don't know. I think, you know, maybe she has. So one of the cops stayed inside with me, you know, and he was getting all my information. He was looking at all my text messages and stuff like that she was sending me. And the other guy was the other partner or whatever. He was outside looking for her. So by the time the other partner came back, somebody knocked on the door. All right. And it was her. She knocks on the door. She's covering the peephole, y'all. Dumbass. So the cop was like, I'll open the door. So he opens the door. He's like, you know, so, you know, how you doing, ma'am? You know, what's going on and this and that. And she's like, I need to get my fucking purse or whatever. She's like, there's identity theft going around and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, calm down, man. He's like, would you like to write a statement? Would you like to have a statement or whatever? She's like, no. She's like, I don't want to do a statement or anything like that. I just need my purse, and I just need to get my purse and get and go home, blah, blah, blah. And he asked her something else, and she said something stupid to him. And then he just ended up handcuffing her. And no, because he was like, no, he said something about, you sure you don't want to write a statement? Or, oh, he asked her, have you been drinking now? He asked her, have you been drinking? She was like, yes, I have. Whatever. Like, he was like, okay. And then she said something else disrespectful to him. And then, like, he just ended up handcuffing her. So right after he handcuffed her, she was like, what did I do? Her whole tone just changed, y'all. She's like, what did I do? He was like, first of all, you disrespected me, telling me that I need to do my job. That's what she told him too. She was like, you need to do your fucking job and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, you tell me how to do my job. He's like, and you don't even want to write a statement. And she was like, is that what you wanted? I didn't know that's what you wanted. She was crazy as fuck, y'all. So they handcuffed her, put her in the car, and then I'm talking to the cop in my house, man, in my apartment, and he's like, you gotta get a restraining order. So he gives me the number, you know, to the station or whatever to file the restraining order and all of that shit. He's like, I seen this shit so many times. So then about 5 minutes later, y'all, he gets a call from his partner from the car. And she's saying that I put my hands on her, that I hit her. So then it was so crazy about this is, like, these cops, they've seen these situations so much. Like, I didn't even have to say nothing. So when he came back, he's like, because I didn't even hear the other cops say anything. Like, he can hear it through his ear. So he's like, hey, so look, this is what she's saying. She's saying that you put your hands on her or whatever. Or you hit her or some shit like that. He didn't even let me talk or anything. He didn't even ask me a question. He was like, I'm looking at your shirt. He's like, you got makeup on your shirt, on the stomach of your shirt. He's like, unless you was just had her face and you was like rubbing your stomach with her face. He's like, that makes no sense. He's like, your shirt is all torn up and her clothes are fine. He's like, she's blowing smoke. I already know. She's like, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a picture of your shirt. All right. And I want you to use this just in case she tries to say something that you put your hands on her in court. Because I can tell if you put your hands on her or not. Like, obviously, like, I can tell by these text messages. I can tell she showed up at your place, you know. So she's like, no. She's like, this is what we're going to do. So I was like, cool. So, long story short, y'all, I ended up not pressing charges on her because, like, by that time I had already moved and I already got a new car. So, like, I didn't need to put a restraining order on her and shit like that. And yeah, that, That was my situation, y'all. That was my situation. I actually didn't even want to go through with it. I just didn't want to deal with her anymore. And I didn't feel like I needed to, especially because I had already moved and I already got a new car. So yeah, that was my worst relationship of my life, y'all. 54 minutes, y'all. It's probably gonna last like another 5 minutes so I can like let y'all know what my mentality is now when it comes to relationships. Like back then, I went through all of that shit because I thought relationships took hard work. All right, I don't think that anymore, y'all. To me, if I have to go through all of that, if I have to go through any type of resistance, or I have to feel resentment for anyone, or I'm feeling bad about myself or some shit like that, like, I don't want to be with a person like that. I don't want to be with a person that's going to bring any kind of negative energy towards me at all. Like, if you're calling me names, if you're saying mean shit to me, I don't want nothing to do with you at all. That's my mentality right now, y'all. So I'm all about the good vibes. You know, if I talk to you and I feel the connection and I feel great being around you, that's what my mentality is when it comes to relationships now. It's all about a feeling, and I would never put myself through a situation like that again. That's why when I see so many people in situations now where they're like, man, like, this happened and I'm giving this another chance, I'm giving this another chance, like, it's not gonna change, man. It's not gonna change. You're not gonna change adults. Adults don't change, man. And if they do change, they're only changing because, like, they're afraid. They're afraid that they're gonna lose you, but they don't have the ability to change. All right. And it's not like they're always gonna be, it's not like they're a bad person. It's just that their way of thinking, their values and stuff don't match your values. And you gotta stop trying to make people's values and thought processes match your thought processes. That's what it is. Because, like, you battle with these people. Like, you're like, why don't you do this? Or why don't you think this? And why do I do all of this for you? And, like, when I ask you to do it, like, you don't want to do it. Like, you got to find somebody that's on that same level as you. That's on the same level of giving. That's on the same level of caring. All right? If you don't find that person, you got to let that person go. Honestly, man, you got to let that person go. Like, it's very simple. It's very simple, man. And I think we really need to stop being afraid of being alone. All right. Stop being afraid of being alone. Like now, like when it comes to the dating apps, y'all, I have two people on a dating app that I have in my inbox on Hinge, y'all. I know a lot of people, they just got 15 people in their inbox. For what? Like, you're going to chat with them when you're bored? Like, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. If it's no connection, like, what I do is I unmatch people. Like, if a woman comes to my, if a woman likes some shit on my profile and I respond to her and, like, I don't hear back from her at all. Or not at all. Actually, I give it like 3 or 4 days. If I don't hear from you in 3 or 4 days, you're not the person for me. All right. The person for me is a punctual person, a person that is aware of what they want. All right. It's not just on the app to just be pen pals with people. That's unattractive to me. So it's not about, oh, like, I'm being too harsh, or I need to give it a shot, or I need to give it a chance. No, like, I'm attracted to the person that understands communication, that understands that, like, if I communicate with you, you should communicate back with me. You shouldn't have me waiting 2 or 3 days for me to hear from you again. All right. That's, if you're that type of person, you're like, you're not my type. You see that? And that's it. And that's what we got to realize. And I don't think that's nobody's type. Nobody wants somebody that's not going to respond to them after 2 days. So, you know what I do with those people on Hinge? I just unmatch. After 3 or 4 days, if I don't hear from you, I just unmatch you. That's it. A lot of those women, they probably think I've just gone into a relationship because I've unmatched so many people. All right. And the two women that's on there now, They're about to get unmatched because it's been like 4 days actually, and the weekend is about to be over. So I'm about to unmatch them because I don't have time. Honestly, I think the person that I'm going to be with is probably going to be somebody that I meet through like mutual friends. All right. It's probably not going to be on a dating app or anything like that. It's probably going to be through mutual friends. So, yeah, that's my story, y'all. Sticking to it. I'm trying to stay under 60 minutes. It's 59:17 right now. 59 minutes. If you've been here for this long, you really wanted to know my mentality, and I appreciate you for chatting with me, listening to my story, y'all. Other than that, man, that's all I got for y'all, man. And as always, man, if y'all got any questions, let me know. If y'all got any situations, anything that you guys want me to discuss about your situations, let me know, y'all. Other than that, man, I'll see y'all on the next podcast, baby. Peace.